Welcome, everybody. Today we're going to be focusing on focus, the first part of a two-part series. So, sir, we had communicated a little bit before this, and I wanted to know, how do you stay focused on family, health, and business without being overwhelmed?
Would you remember the last episode we did? We did the yes, no, and not now list.
Yes.
That's one of the first things, because as entrepreneurs, we're opportunists. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're the kind of people that go, oh, it's raining. I wonder if I can sell umbrellas. Oh, it's cloudy. I wonder if I can sell this. It's sunny. I wonder if I can. We're constantly looking for opportunities. And the downside is of an entrepreneur is we find them. And quite often what happens is it overloads us and we end up with all of these things on. And we have, and how many times you hear someone go, oh, I've got so many projects going on. That's not a good thing. You know, Elon Musk does one thing for a while, and then he physically and mentally stops and switches gear, and he can't be taken out of his flow state. He's only focused on something else. So I noticed very early on, the successful people know to stick to your lane per subject, per opportunity. And I found the best way to do this, and we're going to break that down into business and in family and in health, is to compartmentalize. You've got to get, and I never was, you've got to get anally, if I can use that word, structured. You've got to just be like stupidly structured with your day, okay? And it's going to seem really, really silly, but what you're doing is you're training yourself. Now, that entrepreneur is this curious kid in you, and it's bouncing off the walls, and it's also been eating gummy bears. So it's not paying attention. It wants to find something. It wants to work on something exciting. Oh, squirrel. You know, it's that kind of thing. And here's the daft thing. If anyone listening to this now opens up their calendar, you're more than likely going to see an interview you got to do, a dentist's, a doctor's appointment, an accountant you got to go and see, your attorney. You see, the bottom line of it is you book those dates for all of the people you don't really like to see. Because like, and hey, my dentist is absolutely lovely. I love her. If she's listening to this, I love you, girl. Don't worry about it. But I don't want to see you. It would be really, really good if I never had to see my dentist again. Really don't want to see my accountant because it always comes out costing me a tax bill. So, but we book these appointments with all of these things. How many of us have actually booked 10 o'clock in the morning, coffee break with wife? You know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, book time with your son. Walk down the high street with your dog. How many times do you have in your calendar, walk the dog at 3:30 in the afternoon, rather than, oh shit, the day's got away from me. It's now 8 o'clock. I'm cold. It's dark. And I've got to go walk the dog. Now you've turned what could be pleasant into a chore. And the second you turn something into a chore, you start resisting that. So I noticed very early on that everything I was booking and scheduling was stuff that I didn't really want to do. So by doing that, the other stuff that I was doing to fill up the day was business, which meant that I'm doing this business for the life that I want to lead. And then I'm going out to have meetings with people I don't want to have meetings with. When does the life I want actually start? And so what I started doing was I started booking my life into my calendar. My diary now, if you looked at it, it'll say, you know, like 2:30 on Monday afternoon, go for a ride through Malibu Canyon on a motorbike. It'll say, and this is truthful, taco run. It'll just, we come up with this thing. I'll tell you about it in a second. But we came up with this thing about taco run. Now, we had COVID, and we all had COVID. In fact, it's been the only world event, the only unilateral event that you now have something relatable to somebody, anybody, anywhere in the world. You could bump into someone in Jerusalem. You could bump into someone in Peking. You could knock into someone in Chicago and have a conversation about COVID, and they would know exactly what you're talking about, Okay. You can't do that with musicians. You can't do that with movies. You can't do that with politics. You can't do that with anything else. But everyone from 5 year old to 500 years old knows about COVID. So we came up with this little thing because we had to install the brake, because a lot of the problem is with focus, people think you need to get away in order to regain your focus. And we'll delve into that. But what we did was we actually gave us points of something to look forward to, because we used to look forward to the weekend, didn't we? We get to the Friday and be like, oh, God, great. We can pour a whiskey. God, that was a good week. And then we would chill a little bit more over the weekend, and then come Monday, we'd go again. We basically had like a 9.5 month weekend, haven't we? There's no start. There's no stop. There's nothing to look forward to. We can't track. We can't do any of that. So we came up with something called a taco run. And in Canada, in California, you can't go into restaurants, but the little food trucks on the side of the street in Malibu and on the beach lines and in Pacific Coast Highway, they're still open. So what we did was we would jump on the motorbike, run through the hills and try a different taco truck, and then just eat the taco on the side of the street, come home. And then every week just go like, right, let's find another one, you know? And we were doing these taco runs, something so stupid, so cheap, gas and the price of a taco was now the highlight of our week. And so it gave us that break. We would be like, when are we doing a taco run? When are we? Because a couple of times we didn't plan it for the next week, because I was worried the kids were annoying, because we've got two bikes and my son rides as well, so we could take four people out in total on a bike. And I thought to myself, maybe my wife doesn't want to always go riding on a motorbike every week. Maybe my youngest, 15, maybe he doesn't want to. But they did, because they needed that break. They needed something different. What could you do with your family that's a bit different? Now, here's the thing. Go down to the park to throw ball at 3:30 in the afternoon. Throw a frisbee. Play with a dog. Something to break the monotony. And book it in your diary. Couple of things happen. When you start booking nice things into your calendar, you suddenly start noticing glaringly you got more stuff you don't want to do than stuff you do want to do. Well, I don't know anyone that's working to pay the tax man. Okay? We're all working to give ourselves a better standard of life, aren't we? And we're working ourselves into the ground in order to do so. There's no logic in that. Okay? So start booking stuff in your week that you have something to look forward to. I book track days. I book having coffee with my wife. I book, you know, walking the dog. Literally, I had this morning, walk the dog at 10 o'clock in my calendar. I had a podcast this morning. I knew we were chatting this afternoon. I've got another one this afternoon. And, you know, there it is, glaringly, walk the dog, okay? Just something that me and my wife, we just put our togs on and just went and walked the dog. So start scheduling time for you, for the things that matter. If you put that in line also with your yes, no, and not now list, you start prioritizing. And then what you've got to do is play this game. And it's very simple, very critical. What's the point? Okay? It's very harsh. But everything you book into your calendar, ask yourself, what's the point? I'm going to the dentist. What's the point? Well, I've got bad teeth. There's a point. Okay. Going to see the accountant. Need to get my taxes sorted out. Can I do that remotely via Zoom and not have to drive? Yeah. Right. Fine. So do it via Zoom. So start quizzing yourself on how much you actually need to do in your day. Okay. And if it doesn't move the needle, and when I say move the needle, you know, getting your teeth cleaned, that's good. Makes you feel better. It's healthier for you. You smile more. You feel more confident. That moves the needle. Walking the dog with your wife moves the needle. Holding a podcast moves the needle. Anything that creates a reaction and a trigger internally and to people that you're working with, that moves the needle. There's a point to it. But really be critical and harsh with your calendar on once you've started booking in the good stuff along with the bad stuff, look at the whole thing in general and go, what's the point on every single item?
I love that. So it's funny that you mentioned scheduling time. I actually schedule, and I don't know if it's more for me, yes, but also so I know not to schedule something between 8 and 10 because that's when I want to go to the gym. Even if I don't go to the gym, that's time that I could do what I need to do. And I think that's helped me a lot. And even when I started to get overwhelmed, my husband would ask me, what is on the calendar that you have to do today? What can you reschedule something? Do you have to do? You have to talk to that person? Why are you talking to that person? So it made me start thinking about all these things. So I love that you pointed that out because I think we forget.
We do, but is that also because of your former military background?
That's probably it too.
Yeah, we had this conversation before and I'm going to keep on about it. The military know about time. You know, if you meet someone that's like you, we had the time of a podcast, you were beforehand, okay? Because quite simply, if you turn up on time, military version, you're late. So you've got to be there a couple of minutes beforehand. All of that stuff's drummed into you. Anyone, again, out there in the military, if you're doing that and you're turning up before the appointment's due, don't settle for other people's standards. Bring them to yours, okay? You've had it drummed into you. It's a skill set. Respect, love, admire, and promote it.
I love that. I appreciate all that. Now, moving on to the next topic, do you feel like you put more focus on your business during COVID, or was it about the same momentum that it was beforehand?
It was the same momentum, but do you remember we spoke yesterday about ROE and stuff?
Yes.
And focusing on where my energy was going. If you're putting a lot of energy into something and it's moving, great. One thing I noticed very early on in COVID, because I also was part of a travel business, and it didn't matter. I used to do a newsletter like once a week. Okay. What's the point of doing a newsletter? You know, we had like a year that we couldn't actually travel anywhere. So what's the point of aggravating people with a bloody travel newsletter? So we didn't do those. Updating the website, what's the point? No one's going anywhere. Putting calendars of upcoming social events. There are no social events. So I looked very quickly as to not so much what am I doing, but what can I control the outcome of? Okay. It made no sense to me to pay any attention to the travel industry because no one could do anything. So I was very quick to realize. I was stunned at how many newsletters, and again, being in the travel industry, you know, I would get these. In the early stages of COVID, when everyone thought, this is going to be around a couple of months and then we'll all be good, for a good 3 to 4 months, I was still getting, hey, book your hotel now, and if you have to change it in a couple of months, because, hey, by summer's coming up, because if you remember, it was March that this thing here. It hit. Everyone was still thinking by summertime, we're still going to be booking hotels and we'll all be good. So they kept going for 4 months. I stopped in March. You know, I looked at it and I just sent an email out saying, I don't know where this is going. I'll come back to you when we're clearer. And that was the last email we ever sent out. So I focused on what I could actually have some kind of control over, what I could steer. Nothing that it was somebody else dictating the income or the outcome for me. So I still had the same momentum, but I pivoted it into areas that could actually do something. So I did a lot more online coaching. I did a lot more development on my Facebook pages, you know, on Entrepreneurs Advantage Facebook page. And I started putting a lot more dedication into Sims Distillery. So I started working a lot more on my digital ecosystem. Because I had control of it. You know, the world has not lost the internet. So can you imagine that? Now, that would upset a lot of people. So that was the main thing. I really focused on what I could control, the outcome. And so COVID for me, I believe COVID was actually an amplifier. Mm. If you've ever kind of like been a bit depressed and you have a glass of whiskey or you have a glass of wine, you get more depressed, don't you? You know, drink never kind of brings you out of it. You know, it makes you go, you know. If you're already in a good mood and you have a couple of drinks, hey, you're dancing on the tables. COVID was the exact same. If you had a business that had problems, you had more problems. Mm-hmm. If you had a business that was strong and vibrant and robust, then it was stronger, more vibrant and more robust and more in demand. So it was weird. COVID was actually an amplifier for any of those businesses. And I've heard a few people say to me, COVID basically just brought any business that was going to go bankrupt, it brought it forward by 5 years. It saved them 5 years of pain. So it's been a weird year. We can't deny that. But for me, I pivoted to what I could control the outcome rather than what I was standing against the liability.
That makes sense. How has that been for everybody else that you've brought into your coaching? Were you able to steer them in a different direction? Because I'm sure there are people out there that want to coach and say, just help me, save me. What can you do to help me? So how do you tell them, hey, let's focus on this.
Right. Okay. So I look at it like you're decorating an old house. Okay. You know, if you bought a house and it's an old house and you need to decorate it and you need to get in there quickly, you basically paint over and plaster over everything that's already there, don't you? Mm-hmm. But if you got told, hey, don't worry about your mortgage, don't worry about the expenses, and you don't have to move into that house for 2 years, you wouldn't paint over those walls. You'd pull those walls down and put up new plasterboard, wouldn't you? You'd put up new wiring. You'd put up new plumbing. You'd put up new infrastructure. Well, as we've been moving at such an incredible speed, and understand, the world was moving at such a speed. We were all in a bull market. Everything was great. We're all making money pre-COVID. We were basically plastering over consistent problems that we already had. We were buying programs and plugins and CRMs and, you know, outsourcing this and outsourcing. We were tripping over each other. The good thing about COVID is it pushed pause. It was a chance for us to suddenly stop and then go, all right, what are we doing? Through COVID, how many people out there, and of course I'm talking rhetorically because you can't yell at me, how many of you started looking at all of those programs that you had subscriptions to? Magazine subscriptions, TV subscriptions. How many of you were also looking at your computer subscriptions, all the different plugins and players and annual report, all of those kind of things to go, well, I don't need that. Never even use that, and getting rid of all of these things. Because for the first time ever, you weren't worried about your competitor beating you because they were in the same position as you. Yeah. My coaching business quadrupled during COVID because people were saying, hey, I want a refresh. Time to pull the walls down. You know, I don't want a paint job. I want to know if my walls are strong. You know, I want to know if my messaging is accurate and impossible to misunderstand. I want to know if I am actually validating that I am the solution to somebody else's problem. We now had the chance to refine who we are and basically get rid of, like, freshen up the walls, get rid of all of that, and start from brass tacks again, from the real bones, and then just build the meat on it from there. So I had a lot of clients that recognized early on that this was a phenomenal chance for them to reevaluate where they had got to, where they were, and where they were going to. And that's been a really beautiful exercise. The amount of times I've been going, well, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And I've gone, do you know, I just don't know. And we didn't have the time to think like in 2018. We were making money. We were moving crazily. If someone came along and went, hey, buy this plugin for like $400, it'll help increase the pixelation so that anyone that visits your website will suddenly be retargeted with adverts, $400. And you go, yeah, okay, click. And you'd buy it. And I call that the diet book syndrome. The amount of people that actually walk into a store, they buy a diet book, and they never open it, okay? How many people out there do you feel do that? You know, they bought a book on dieting and they go, well, I bought the book. I'm probably going to lose weight now. That's the same with all what we've been buying over the years, where people have gone, hang on, I've been running this program. And me as well. I went through the subscription list. I was stunned at the amount of stuff that I had been paying for. And I'm going, why the hell have I been? COVID gave us the opportunity to clean house. And that for me was a fantastic time. So coaching wise, I've been really enjoying getting in there, getting all the cobwebs out, cleaning house and getting people just basically more refocused, retargeted. And the good thing about cleaning house, get them lighter. Okay. They're now not carrying all of that baggage. They're not carrying programs and signups and subscriptions they don't need anymore. So it's a good thing to clear them up and get them lighter.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad because, yeah, there's some of us out there who need people like you to go, okay, clean up, clean the house. And you're right. I was talking to someone the other day, last week, about all the subscriptions that he was paying for. And we were like, oh, my God, at least $200 worth of stuff we didn't use. So now was the time to go through it and delete, start over, do something else. So what is there something you want to leave with our listeners before we close this out and we do the part two at another time with when it comes to focus?
People think focus is something you do freestyle, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not. You know, focus is not a freestyle activity. It is a scheduled activity. You know, I've got to go and work on the car. I'm stepping into the garage, the lights on, the hood's up, my head's in the engine. That's the time to focus. Okay. So you've got to schedule yourself. You will get times where you go, oh, I want to focus on that now. And you will learn to teach and train yourself. Do you know what one of the other funny tips you have? Tell yourself it's time to focus on something. Okay. If you've got a book that you can't get through, if you've got a journal that you've got to be writing, if you've got something you've got to be working on, just go, okay, pour yourself a coffee, a cup of tea, whatever. Go, okay, time to focus on this. Mm. It actually, the verbalization of it gets you ready, okay, gets you prepared, and then you can go, okay, and you're in. You've just told yourself. So try that. The next time you find yourself having a bit of trouble, get a cup of coffee. That actually breaks you away from the desk. You know, get a biscuit, get a glass of water, whatever. Come back, sit down and go, okay, time to focus on these reports. It's that statement is going to tell your mind, all right, here we go. And so there's my little tip of the day for you there.
It works. I've tried it. I'd have to step away and say, all right, let's get focused. And then your whole mindset changes. So it's a proven fact. Okay. Well, thank you, sir, for this first session on focus. Until next time, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Truths We Hide podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Call Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.